So why don't we go ahead, let's start off with a word of prayer. Let's come before our Father in heaven. Let's pray. Father God, we just come into your holy presence right now. And we ask you, Lord God, just let your presence just fill us. Let there be an overflowing of your goodness upon our minds, our hearts, upon our lives. Because, Lord God, we know there's no other way, Lord. We want to live for you. And we want to live our lives pleasing to you, Lord. I pray you will have your way in this time as your word is spoken through me, Lord. I just pray, Father, that your words will truly fill the hearts of my brothers and sisters in this very place. And we come, Lord, knowing, Lord, that it's your word that gives us all we need to have victory in our lives. No matter what we're facing in life, as long as we have you, as your word fills our minds and our hearts, we know we're going to experience the fullness of your love, your peace, and your joy. So, Lord God, have your way in this time, because we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Praise God, praise God. Well, if you take a look at your sermon notes, we're continuing our sermon series, The Ultimate Guarantees of God. And you know, often, right, you will hear a pastor or preacher ask this question to his or her congregation. Do you really believe these are the last days? Well, do you believe that? Okay, well, you probably hear the church say in unison, yes, it is, okay? But the question now to ask is, why do you believe this? Why do you believe that these are the last days? Because, you know, if you were to do a search on the internet and ask this very question, right, are these the last days? I assure you, we'll find many different answers. And some may give you a very definite time and hour as to when the end of the world will come, or as to when Jesus will actually return, right, and take the church home to spend eternity with Father God. You know, while others believe that Jesus, you know what, some believe he's already here and he's hiding somewhere on this planet Earth. You know, that's what some people actually believe, and that he may just appear all of a sudden and conquer all that is evil in the world. And as Christians, we generally understand, you know, the last days, or some people refer to it as the end times. They have two significant events, right? One is the return of Jesus in his second coming, and the other is the tribulation period, in which the beast and the false prophet will rule the world through their counterfeit version of God's kingdom, okay? So when we say we are in the last days, we are saying, yes, we are actually in a time that is leading up to these actual events, where we know Jesus, he's coming back. He's coming back for the church. And the church, guess who? They're us, right? And we know the beast and the false prophet will also make an appearance. But, you know, eventually they'll be thrown down into the pits of fire, right? And in the eternal lake of fire, and they'll be forever defeated. But, you know, no matter what people will teach or say on the internet, we always have to go back to the Word of God and have a full understanding about what the end times are all about. So in this final session, yes, this is the final session, right? This is part 9, and it's a long title. It's called God's Guarantees of the Last Days and the Soon Return of His Son, Jesus Christ. The question is, how soon? Well, the Bible says, even Jesus says, we don't know the day or the hour, and he doesn't know, according to what he says, but only the Father knows. But what are we to do? We're just going to be prepared. Amen? And we're going to do what we're supposed to be doing and live for his Son, Jesus Christ. So here's the question. What does God's word guarantee to us as to what will happen in the last days and upon the return of our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, if you take a look at your notes, there are 10 points. Okay, we're not going to stay here for 3 or 4 hours. So I'm going to go through these points very quickly, but I want you to know what these points are, because it's very important. Because the very fact is, these points are taken from the scriptures. And we know that we got to make sure our hearts are ready. But Jesus himself told us, these are the signs that will take place upon my return. Okay, so number one, It says here, many false Bible teachers will slur the Christian faith and deceive many. Let me ask you, is that happening right now? Oh, yeah. There are many false teachers. They will tell you, oh, this is the truth. This is what you got to believe. I know your pastor told you in the past that this is the truth, but actually, I got something even better for you. And this is the actual truth. I mean, there are pastors, I mean, actual false teachers that are teaching things that we know are not according to the Word of God. I want you to look what it says here in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Won't you read that with me? Ready? Go. But there were also false prophets in Israel, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will cleverly, what? Teach destructive heresies and even deny the master who bought them. Okay, let's stop right there. Destructive heresies. Heresies are teachings that go against the Word of God. They're not true. I mean, if you were to place it against what is the actual Word of God, you realize, wait a minute, this doesn't sound right. And if you know it's questionable, you know, don't accept it. You know, talk to a pastor or a teacher, you know, that really knows the Bible and ask, you know, is this something I should receive? Because if it isn't, get rid of it. Reject it, right? Because you don't want something that is not the truth to stay in your mind and eventually travel to your heart, okay? So remember, just get rid of it. Okay, let's continue on. It says, in this way, they will bring sudden destruction on themselves. Many will follow their evil teaching and shameful immorality. Okay, so many will follow, right? We're talking about other believers. And because of these teachers, the way of truth will be slandered. In their greed, they will make up what? Clever lies to get a hold of your money. But God condemned them long ago, and their destruction will not be delayed. Okay, they're good at lying, just like how we know the devil is good at lying. And guess what? I'm sure the devil is helping them to come up with lies that will make people bite into what they're teaching. And a lot of times people will pay hundreds of dollars to attend their conferences or whatever. And not to say it's all bad, but the very fact is there are cases, right, where they're teaching things that go contrary to the Word of God. And people are willing to pay to attend these conferences. You got to be careful. You got to make sure that whoever is teaching what they're teaching, you know, goes along with the Word of God. And sometimes we got to do our own research, you know, make sure that the teachers are really teaching what is valid, teaching what is something that you know you should receive. You know, as the scriptures indicate, right, people will be drawn to what their itching ears want to hear. And a lot of times when these teachers will tell you things that make you either feel good or make you want to say, hey, you know what? This is something I could really get involved in, right? And people get excited, but you know, they're false teachings. And let me just share with you some examples of what some popular false teachings are taking place within our churches today. Well, I give an example. Number one, is it, you know, one teaching I remember, they're teaching that God doesn't mind that you have sin in your life. As long as you're happy, guess what? God's happy too. So, you know, you can do whatever you want in your life. You can sleep around, drink and be merry. God doesn't mind. As long as you're happy, God's happy too. Is that something we should receive? Absolutely not, because the Word of God tells us we are to live according to His standard. We are to live according to how He wants us to live. Amen? Or another example, you know, a teaching that I know is very prevalent now. It says God eventually wants you to become your own God. Can you imagine? You know, and they will teach you, you know, God wants you to eventually become your own God so that other people will worship you and that you will become a little God. Okay, is that a good thing? It says they will tell you, you will become a little God, but there's only one big God, and that's the big God in the sky, okay? But you will become a little God, and you will eventually rule your own universe. Okay, does that sound good to anybody? This is actually happening today in our society where this kind of teaching is going around. But they say, you know what, we're not saying you're a big God, we're saying you're a little God, so it's okay. And you kind of think, oh, okay, I'm not a big God, but I'm a little God. Well, that's never okay, because the Bible says, even God says himself, I'm a jealous God, and you shall what? Have no other gods before me. So yeah, even if you become a little tiny, tiny, itty bitty God, still, it's not acceptable. Amen? Because there's only one true God, and that's our Father God whom we serve. And we gotta know that there are a lot of false teachers that are teaching things like this. And another church, they will tell you, you wanna be saved? You have to attend our church, because we are the chosen church. There is no other church. You go to any other church, you're not saved. I hear, actually, there are many churches that teach this, that this is false doctrine. The Bible says you have to make a decision to receive Christ into your heart. And if Christ is present in your heart because you received him, you are saved. You don't have to go to a particular church to be saved. The very fact is, it's between you and God. It's not between you and another church. It's the very fact that you are saved because you know our Savior. Amen? And sometimes they will tell you, okay, now that you are part of our family here in this church, you got to give all your money and your possessions to us, because having too much money, too much possessions is evil. And they will teach you this. And so a lot of people, they give into that, okay, whatever I got, I'll empty out my bank account and give it all to the church. Okay, when you do things like that, it's good to be generous. If you want to give like that to the church, praise God. But don't let it be something that you're coerced into. You see what I'm saying? Because then you know you've been tricked, right? You've been duped. And this is not the way of God. And so we got to understand, yeah, there are false teachers like that. And they will even tell you, yeah, you come to our church, we're all family, we'll help you to find a spouse here, and we're going to make sure that you're going to have such a blessed life because we're your church family, and we're going to see to it that will happen. Okay, once again, make sure that this kind of teaching does not come forth in your life, because this is false doctrine. This is false teaching. Okay, wow, that looks good. Okay, well, let's look at number two now. It says, there will be fear of what? Wars, famines, pestilence, and what? Earthquakes. Okay, let's look at Matthew 24, 6 to 8. Won't you read it with me? Ready? Go. And you will hear of what? Wars and rumors of war. And see that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but what? The beginning of the birth pains. Okay, you understand, it's the beginning of the birth pains, because does this seem like our world is going through birth pains right now? Yeah, I mean, come on. There's so many things going on that's not good. And we know it's the beginning of the end, you can say. And you often hear it in the news, right, about the wars and the rumors of wars that are going on in the different countries around the world. We know, right? You can hear, okay, this country's going to go. And you hear it, right, even with our country, United States, right? In the past several years, we had some wars, right, and many rumors of wars with countries such as what? China, Russia, North Korea, Iran, Iraq, and other Middle East countries, okay? It's kind of funny. I remember one day, my father-in-law, you know, we were talking, and he says, Ben, you know, I just read in the Chinese newspaper. The Chinese newspaper says that China has declared war with the U.S., and it's going to happen. I'm going, I didn't hear that one. Where did you hear that? It's in the newspaper. And he actually showed it to me. It was in Chinese, right? He said, look, and there's some pictures, right, of Trump, like that President Trump. And I'm going, huh? So I did my research. I went on Yahoo and stuff. I'm going, it doesn't say that. But I guess, you know, that's what's going on. There are rumors of wars. And that's what it is. And we can see that that is happening a lot. Where people say, yeah, we're going to go to war with this country. And remember with North Korea? Oh, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. There's no doubt that we're going to have a big war coming on. But we know, right, that people will say what they want to say, right? But we got to keep praying and hope that a war will not take place. But even with earthquakes, you know, and all these natural disasters, you know, we know they have been so much more prevalent around the world and often resulting in many deaths and injuries. And, you know, just yesterday, you know, as I was preparing this message, you know, John Lee was kind of telling me, hey, Ben, we got to pray for North Carolina and Florida because they have a Category 4 hurricane coming their way. And, you know, my brother is in North Carolina, but I didn't hear anything else. But you know, they're saying that they're supposed to be hit, you know, hard. But we're just going to pray and believe God's going to take care of everyone there, okay? But yeah, you hear it, right? It's almost every day you hear of some kind of disaster and what's been a lot more prevalent. We hear about these mass shootings. What in the world is going on? I mean, they're happening frequently, and we got to pray against that because we know it's the work of the devil. We got to understand that this is a work of the devil. And we know we got to pray that this will not happen anymore because, yeah, it seems like it is taking place, right? But we praise God, right? It seems like God's been very merciful to our islands, Hawaii, right? And, you know, we hear about, oh, yeah, the tsunami's coming and hurricanes coming, but God always puts a stop to it. Can I praise God for that? He does that because we pray. And I believe God, you know, he takes care of us. And you probably heard of the new strains of bacteria or diseases that are now resistant to many drugs. And this was not the case before. You know, we just say, okay, this drug will take care of your illness or whatever. They're becoming resistant. And I'm going, wow. And you realize this is taking place. But hey, don't worry. We're just trusting God, right? We know God, he will take care of us. But you know what's funny? Even cockroaches, you know, in our kitchen, you know, there's been an increased population of cockroaches. And we call the exterminator. And they come, right? And it seems like for a while, you know, there's not as many cockroaches. But then they start appearing again. And they had to come back and they got to spray again. And we're thinking, how come? How come they're not dying? Because sometimes we see them, they kind of look like they're drunk. You know, they're kind of like creeping around. They're going like this. And then you can just squash them. Usually they run away, right? But they look like they're kind of drunk or something. And the exterminator told us that, yeah, somehow these cockroaches have become resistant to the insecticide. And we're thinking, how did that happen? So they got to come more often, more frequent, and keep on killing, but they keep coming back. So what is the sense? But we realize these are things that are happening. And, you know, the fact is the world is kind of go, wow, why is this happening? Well, you know, the best thing we can do as Christians, you know, we pray. And we know things, they look like they're happening in a way that it's very strange, right? It's very weird, okay? But we kind of have a sense. We kind of have an idea of what may be going on, you know, especially we can't just look with our physical eyes anymore, brothers and sisters. We got to look deep within our spirit, where the Holy Spirit will show us things, you know, and he will tell us the reason why things are happening the way they are. And we got to believe that God, he will always take care of us. Amen? I want you to look at point number 3 now. It says here, the moon will become what? Blood red. And you know, in John's vision, in the book of Revelation, this is what he says. Okay, let's look at Revelation 6:12. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. I watched as a lamb broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake. The sun became as dark as black cloth, and the moon became as what? Red as blood. Okay. I want you to understand something here. You know, a total lunar eclipse is sometimes called a blood moon because there's a reddish tinge, you know, that the full moon takes on when it is fully eclipsed. So you ever seen that? I think it happened last year, right? We look hey, look at the moon. It's kind of like reddish. And you know, about the year 2012 or 2013, right, there have been many teachings and prophecies about the occurrence of the blood moons. You guys heard, right? I mean, you know, right? Like with John Hagee and Pastor Mark Blitz, they were teaching about the prophecies from the Bible, right, that talked about these blood moons. And blood moons, you got to understand, had always occurred in the past. But what made it special this time around was the fact that they stated there will be what is called a tetrad. Okay, the word tetra. What does that mean? Four, right? And a tetrad is a series of four consecutive total lunar eclipses, which all happened to fall on Jewish holidays. And guess what? They were all 6 months apart. And that never had taken place before. So that's why a lot of people were thinking, okay, could this be the end times, right? Because this is what the book of Revelation tells us, right? In Revelation 6:12. Let's read it again in what John says. I watched as the Lamb broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake. The sun became as dark as black cloth, and the moon became what? As red as blood. And so we know it began, right, with the April 2014 lunar eclipse, in which many Christians believe this was the mark of the beginning of the end times. And the tetrad also included total lunar eclipses in October 2014, April 2015, and the final one in September 27, 2015. So there are four of them. Boom, 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 boom. And a lot of people think, okay, Jesus is coming back. You know, a lot of people really thought that. And you know, some people, they were getting prepared. They're thinking, we're going home. Jesus is taking us. But what happened? It already, you know, came to pass, right? And a lot of the people go, where's Jesus? What happened? Well, let's look through the scriptures and see if we can find the answer. Let's look at Joel 2:31 first. Read it with me. Ready? Go. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood. What's that word? Before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. Okay, let's read Acts 2:20. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to what? Blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. Okay, the key word here is before. When will it come, the blood moons? Before, right? And so we know the blood moons in this way it happened, right? Where the tetrad, right? It's a sign or indicator of Jesus' soon return for the church. It doesn't mean that when it happened that Jesus will come back right there and then, but it's up to you. Do you believe that? The very fact this never happened before is a tetrad, okay, of these blood moons. And because it happened, you know, most Christian teachers, they will tell you, yeah, it's a sign that Jesus may be coming back very soon. How soon? Well, we don't know. It's sooner than we think, right? So what are we to do? Be prepared. Get ready for his coming. Make sure your life is truly a reflection of the life of Jesus. Amen? That's what God has called us to do. We got to make sure we're living a life that is true to him. Because when he returns, we got to make sure our hearts are fully devoted to him. Can I amen to that? All right, I want you to look at number four now. It says, everyone will have a growing concern only for who? Themselves, right? And let me just ask you, do you believe that that's true in our society today? More so than what it was maybe, let's say, 10 years or maybe even 20 years ago, that people somehow, they become more selfish? And you kind of have to wonder why, you know? Could it be our technology? Well, you know, let's read what the scripture says here first. In 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 2. Let's read together. Ready? Go. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of who? Themselves. Lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, and unholy. Okay, this is what the word of God. This is what the Apostle Paul wrote. You know, he could see that because God gave him revelation to see that this generation would be like that. And we live in a generation, it's all about me, myself, and I. Think about it. We have a computer company, right, that have products that encourage us to put the focus on ourselves. Can you think of a product? iPod. iPad, right? iMac, right? It's just like everything is like saying it's about you. Yeah, iPhone, right? It's all about you. You know, this product is focused on you, and it's user-friendly so that you will be happy and that you're going to find great joy in using our product. And, you know, that's what it is, right? And we see that and even like, you know, HP, they have a printer that is called Envy, right? You want to have a product that is the envy of all your friends. They look at you, how come you get such a nice printer, right? And that's what it is. It seems like the society we live in, they're trying to put all the focus on us. And if you were born between 1946 and 1964, guess what? You were known to be of the me generation, okay? Characterized by self-absorption and material greed. Okay, this is the era, right? This is what they called it, right? They called it the me generation. And it's interesting. You know, I got to tell you, several years ago, you guys heard of Kirk Cameron. He's an actor, but you know, he's very well known in the Christian world, where he's proclaiming the goodness of Christ. He's proclaiming about Jesus Christ is Lord, and he's partnered with this pastor named Ray Comfort. Okay, and I remember in one of his videos, he had an interview with an ex-Satanist, and you know, in the interview, right? He asked the ex-Satanists, you know, so what do you guys do when you come together? I mean, you know, we as Christians, we sing songs of praise to God, you know, and all this. Well, what do? Do you worship Satan? Is that what they teach you? You know what his answer was? No, we don't do that. What they teach us is they teach us to worship ourselves. Think about that for a second. Didn't Satan try to do that with Adam and Eve? Don't you want to be like God? Guess what? Satan wants to put all the focus on yourself. Not so much on him. He's not saying, okay, bow down to me. No, it's more so bow down to yourself. Because once he knows, when you start bowing down to yourself, the spirit of pride will come upon you. And suddenly, you don't want to worship God. Suddenly, you want to worship, guess who? Yourself. And you say, yeah, I want more. I want it to be all about me. And then Satan says, yes, I got what I want, right? I got this child of God's heart worshiping himself. And that's why we got to be very careful of that, because that's what Satan is trying to do. All right? I want you to look at number 5 now. Look what it says there. Increased acceptance of what? Homosexuality. And let's read what it says here in Luke 17, 28 to 30. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, right, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. Okay, you got to catch that. It will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. What does that mean? It's the day that Jesus will come back. It tells us that sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed all of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know why? Because they were getting very involved with the practice of homosexuality. Remember, they were trying to have sex with the angels of God. And so is our society becoming kind of like that? Well, yeah, think about this, right? Our society today is allowing homosexual marriage. And we know, right, God designed it to be between a man and a woman, period. And, you know, and a lot of times, right, you will hear the homosexual community say, you know what, you Christians, you guys are bigots. You know, so long two people are in love, let them do what they want. Why are you trying to interfere? Well, the question is, are we going to stand on the word of God? Not that we're going to have hatred towards them, but the fact is we know the Bible says one of the sins that are on the list, right? It tells us that homosexuality, which is a sin, we got to call it for what it is. It's a sin. So with, you know, with idolatry and all that other stuff, you know, but the fact is it is a sin. And because if you do not repent of this sin, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. This is in 1 Corinthians 6:9. It says, those who practice homosexuality will not inherit the kingdom of God. So are we going to say, you know what, you can just do what you want. I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to leave you alone. But realizing this person's salvation is at stake. Come on. This is what it is. And we got to stand on the word of God and say, no, it's not right. Because the word of God tells us it's not right. Amen? It's not because we think we know it all, that we know the answer. No. We go back to the word of God and says, no, the word of God says this. And that's why I stand on it. Amen? Because once we start giving in to what man is telling us, just leave them alone. You know, because even some Christian churches will say, you know what, you come to our church, we're not going to say anything about it. You want to, you know, live a homosexual lifestyle, you know, praise God for that. We just accept you for who you are. Well, guess what? What about their relationship with God? Are they truly saved? No, the scripture says they will not inherit the kingdom of God. I mean, this is something we got to really stand on what is truth and say, you know what? I can't accept that because the word of God says that we are not to accept that as truth. And so as we stand on the word of God, the world will know, right? We're not going to buckle. We're not going to give in to what they are telling us what we should do because we stand on the word of God. Amen? I want you to look at point number 6. It says, religious hypocrisy will be prevalent. And let's look at 2 Timothy 3:5. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. They will, what? Act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. The Apostle Paul says, hey, get far away from them. Because guess what? They look on the outside to be very religious. On the outside, they look like they're very close to God, that they know God. But deep inside, no, they're far away from the Lord. You know, a good example of this in the New Testament is this religious group called what? The Pharisees, okay? And Jesus called them, you brood of vipers, you what? You hypocrites. Jesus called them this. You got to understand, they were teachers of the law. Okay, they knew the scriptures and they preached and taught on the word of God. But guess what? They never followed what the word of God told them to do. And that is why Jesus called them hypocrites. And let's face it, there are many hypocrites within our churches today. You may say, Pastor Ben, we are not to judge others. But you know what? If you know that they're blatantly sinning, they're doing things that go against the word of God, if you know your heart belongs to God, and that you know that God calls us to love them, to bring that brother or sister back on track. You know, we are to say it in love, right? We're not to just say, okay, I'm not going to say anything at all, and let them continue a life that we know is ungodly. Continue to live a life that we know that they will just get farther and farther away from God. You know, just think about this, right? You know, some examples are, you know, a hypocrite, right, may teach that lying is detestable unto the Lord. But guess what? They cheat on their taxes all the time, right? You say, no, it's okay. People said it's okay to do it. Everyone's doing it. You can cheat on the tax and the government won't mind. Oh, really? You want to go ahead and tell it to the IRS then? Because you're saying don't lie, don't cheat, but you yourself are doing it. Or sometimes they will teach children the importance of being pure and holy unto the Lord, yet they may still be sleeping around, right, and view pornography often. And the thing is, right, we know that we can say it out of our mouths, don't do this, don't do that, you should be doing this, but we're doing it ourselves. Guess what? We become a hypocrite. Amen? And Jesus, I mean, he did not like the very fact that the Pharisees were doing this, and that's why he called them, you brood of vipers, which are snakes, right? You snakes, you hypocrite. So we got to make sure, you know, our hearts, our lives are truly reflective that of Christ. I want you to look at point number 7. It says there, people will deny that God exists and reject who he is. I want you to read this scripture with me. Romans chapter 1, 18 through 20. Read it with me. Ready? Go. But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who what? Suppress the truth by their wickedness. Okay, let's stop right there for a second. What does it mean to suppress the truth? It means to push it down, right? They say, it's still there, right? But they say, that's not really something I want to follow, okay? You suppress it. You push it down. But you haven't gotten rid of it. You're just kind of like, every time you know God is saying, you shouldn't be doing that, Ben. I know God, but just kind of be quiet there. Just don't say anything. And we keep suppressing it, suppressing it. And God says, you know, this is my word. This is my leading for you. And we cannot be suppressing what is the truth. And guess what? They're suppressing the truth by what? Their wickedness. They're choosing wickedness over what is the truth. Let's look at verse 19. Ready? Go. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So what does it say there? They have no excuse for not knowing God. Because sometimes people say, oh, but you know what? God never really revealed himself to me. You know, I prayed, but God never really spoke to me, or God never really showed that he loved me. You know, we are without excuse. Because we can make all these excuses, but the truth of the matter is, God, he wants your heart to be drawn to his heart. He's going to do whatever he can to bring your life into his holy presence. And the reason why a lot of people don't choose God, because guess what? They don't want to change. They are perfectly happy the way they are. Even they know they're miserable. We'll try to figure that out. But that is the honest truth. And what is really sad is the fact that many people will openly reject God and say they really don't want anything to do with him. Until what? A calamity strikes. Something bad really happens in their life, right? And suddenly, you're calling on God. And such was the case with the 9/11 attacks, right? You guys remember that? You know, practically all the churches throughout our nation. Did you know? Because I think it happened on Friday or Saturday. I don't remember. But on the following Sunday, I remember they said every church was packed. I mean, people had to stand outside. And usually these churches, nobody attends, right? And suddenly they're totally, totally packed. And why? Because now they realize, oh, what are we going to do now? This is beyond ourselves. We can't handle this. And they start turning to God. You know, we shouldn't be doing that. It should be every single day we have a yearning and desire to be in the holy presence of God. Not only when bad things happen. Each and every day, you should be so devoted to our Lord God. You know, but you know, we know God is kind and merciful. He hears the cries of people as they are crying out to him. They're crying out to him for help because the grief is just too overbearing. It's just too much for them to handle. And you know, God, he will always accept you. No matter what you have done, God will always receive you into his arms. He will always show to you that you are so loved by him because he created you. Amen. But we don't actually become a child of God until we receive his son Jesus into our lives. Amen? Then and only then you become a child of God. And he will be there to comfort you and help you through the most difficult of times. I want you to look at point number 8 now. It says, scoffers will what? Mock the second coming by claiming these signs have always been around, okay? And let's read what it says in 2 Peter 3:3-4. Ready? Go. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. So you know what scoffing is, right? You probably heard it. You know, and sometimes, you know, people, they just like to make that noise. You know, sometimes you use the shoulders, you know, like this. You know, it's like scoffing. It's like saying, you really believe that? Are you crazy? That's just what they're really saying. They're scoffing, okay? And they will say things like, you know what, there always have been wars and rumors of wars. There always has been, you know, pestilence and disease and earthquakes and all these natural disasters. Nothing's changed. That's what they will say. Really? You really believe nothing's changed? That you really believe that there there hasn't been more of occurrence of all these things? But here's the thing. They will not readily admit that the world has grown more evil and become more immoral, and that their hearts have really become hardened and much colder. They won't admit to that, okay? And if the truth be told, the reason why they laugh and reject God's ways is because, guess what? They really enjoy their sinful behavior and lifestyle, and they don't want to give it up. But here's the thing. We know who has the last laugh. It's not us. It's not God. It's not them. Guess who has the last laugh? The devil does, right? He's right there laughing at them, going, yeah, it's good that you mock God, that you mock what they believe, because you're going to be with me one day. Because the devil knows where he's going. He cannot have victory. He's going to be thrown into the lake of fire. And you know, sadly enough, the Bible tells us, for those who have rejected God, guess where they will be going to? Their souls will be in the eternal lake of fire. And don't you know this? The very fact the devil, he's happy when someone rejects God, because he doesn't want to go there alone. This is the honest truth. This is what the Bible tells us. And he wants to bring as many human souls as he can to be with him in this eternal lake of fire, along with all his demons. And we got to stand on what is truth. And we got to tell people, no, you don't want to go there. Not because of the fact that it is hot, okay? No, the very fact that this is a place of great torment. And they need to know who Jesus is. Amen? We got to have that urgency within our spirit to tell people about the very fact God loves them. And God wants them to be with him throughout eternity. I want you to get point number 9 now. It says here, men will have what? Fear of the future. I want you to read with me what it says here in Luke 21:26. Ready? Go. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. And you know, like I said earlier, a lot of them, right, they're going to go, well, things haven't changed, you know, it's always been like this. Well, when things start to get worse, okay, we hear a lot about the mass shootings and stuff like that. Guess what? A lot of people, you know, unbelievers, they're saying, what in the world is going on? And a lot of them, they're terrified. A lot of them, they will not readily show it. But they're terrified. They're wondering, what's going on? But as Christians, we find peace through God. Right? We keep praying. We keep asking God to help our world, to help our nation, to help the society that we're living become better. Right? Why all this killing? Why all this insanity? And we got to really be on our knees and crying out to God. Amen? And you know, they see, right, all these strange things that are taking place. And, you know, the people of the world, right, they have a fear of what is called, you guys heard of this, right, the global warming, right? You guys heard of that, right? And it seems like there does not really sound, I guess, evidence to prove that this is something that's really occurring, because it's a term used to describe a gradual increase in the average temperature of the Earth's atmosphere and its oceans, right? A change that is believed to be permanently changing the Earth's climate, okay? And, you know, there's a lot of weird things going on. You know, never happened before. I think it was just this year. They said that in Florida, there was snow and hail, you know? because Florida is like Hawaii, right? It was hot, and they said that there were, you know, little golf-sized hail, you know, balls that were hitting the windshield of drivers as they were driving along the street, and they're going, "What is this?" They probably never seen it, especially if they're natives of Florida, right? What, hail balls? You know, really? Imagine this happening. You know, we're driving down Kapilani, and you see this little, you know, golf ball-sized hail hitting your windshield. You'd be like, what is that? Someone throwing that at me? Well, guess what? It's stuff like this are happening all over the world. Or people scratching their head go, what in the world is going on? And you know, so now these politicians, right, they're proposing what is called the Green New Deal. You guys heard about that, right? Which would have to eliminate the use of fossil fuel energy. So they're saying, eventually, we're going to terminate the use of airplanes and gas-run cars. You know, really? Imagine, no more airplanes, right? And they're also saying, yeah, we got to get rid of the cows because of their flatulence. Because they're, you know, because the cows are farting, right? And they say they're emitting gas into our atmosphere. So one politician is proposing, you know what, we shouldn't eat as much beef. They should eat less, and they get less cows, and so there's going to be less cow farting in our atmosphere. This is what's going on. Because guess what? They don't know Jesus. So they're getting desperate. They're trying to handle it in a way that is of only of natural ability. Well, guess what? For you and me, we turn to a higher power. We look to a supernatural power that comes only from Jesus. And we got to be praying and asking God, you know, for whatever is happening within our world, all these strange events, strange occurrences. Hey, we know God knows about it, right? Because he created it all. So we just say, Lord God, help me not to fear. Help me to trust in you even more. Yeah, it seems pretty weird that, you know, let's say there's a hailstorm here in Hawaii, you know. But God, I trust in you. And I know you'll take care of me. And we keep going to God. But the world, they reject God. So they try to find answers themselves. And guess what? You know how much it would cost to implement the Green New Deal? $93 trillion. Really. And they're all like, you know, are you kidding me? Where are we going to get that kind of money? I mean, this is what they're proposing to do, but I don't think it's not going to pass, right? But yeah. But we know, right? They're going to do whatever they can to try to find answers, but we know that's not the way. The only way is through Jesus Christ. Amen? I want you to look at point number 10 now. It says, people will ignore the warning of the gospel. And let me ask you, have you tried to witness to a family member, co-worker, or, you know, a friend or whoever it may be, and they're just kind of like, oh, that's for you, it's not for me. You know, I don't need a crutch. That's what sometimes they'll call it. They say, your faith in God is just a crutch to kind of help you along, but I'm good, I'm okay. And sometimes they will just say, you don't need to talk to me about God anymore. You know, has anyone told you that before? I know some people have told me that, but it doesn't stop me, you know, whatever opportunity I have, you know, especially when they're hurting or when they got problems, guess what? They'll be open to it, I guarantee you. But that's what we know. We do not quit, but the Holy Spirit will give you the opportunities to talk to them once again. But let's look at Matthew 24, 37 to 39. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered into the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. And then look what the next verse says. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. People, they're just going to keep on living the way they want. You know, getting married. Even Noah says, you have to get in the boat. You're going to perish if you do not get into the ark right now. They're like, Noah, you're crazy, you know. And sometimes people, they look at us and say, Ben, you're crazy, man. You believe that stuff? Come on. Well, look what happened. They all perished. They all died, right? But Noah and his family and all the animals, they were able to be safe, okay? But we know people, they may ignore and reject all that you have to say about your Christian faith. But you must keep doing what God has called you to do, just like Noah. Because if they think you're crazy, well, so what? You know this is truth. You got to ask yourself, do you really believe what the Bible says is truth? Because if you say, yes, I do, Pastor Ben, I do with all my heart, then you should have no shame at all. It should be that I'm going to speak forth the word of God because people need to know Jesus. Because, yeah, it's getting close. We don't know how close, but it's getting really close. And we should be willing to say what needs to be said so this person will come to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Because the worst thing you can do is not say anything at all. I'll just let the days go by. Hopefully, you know, my loved one will come to know Jesus. Oh, I'm going to tell you, you do that, you know, there might be a chance that this person will never come to know God. You pray that there will be other people, maybe his friends or coworkers. But you know what? What if God's called you to be the one? You got to be willing to say, Lord, I'm going to talk to my friend or loved one about your son Jesus. So I want you to read with me what it says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 to 3, okay? Because this is what's going to happen if you don't say anything. Okay, let's read it together. Ready? Go. Now, concerning how and when all this will happen, dear brothers and sisters, we don't really need to write to you, for you know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will what? Come unexpectedly, like a what? Like a thief in the night. Let's stop right there. So when we talk about thief in the night, you know, usually do they make a lot of noise? No, right? They will sneak into the house and they will just come and get what they want. Okay, this is how it will come. The Lord's return, it will come unexpectedly, okay? And he will only come for who? For the children of God, for the church, for the believers only, okay? Okay, verse 3. Let's read it. Ready? Go. When people are saying everything is peaceful and secure, then disaster will fall on them as suddenly as a pregnant woman's labor pains begin. And guess what? There will be no escape. And just like with Noah, right? They're getting married, right? They're doing everything they normally would do, even though Noah is saying, come on, people. The end is near. Danger. They're like, get out of here, you know, and they just, come on. This is what the Bible says. Everything is peaceful and secure, and disaster will fall on them as suddenly as a pregnant woman's labor pains begin. Because that's what the Bible tells us. That's going to have that period where it's going to be the beginning of labor pain, okay? Guess where we're going to be? We're going to be with Jesus, because that's what is called the rapture. Where we're going to be meeting, I believe this, we're going to be meeting Jesus up in the air, literally. I believe it. And some people, you know, may not, I believe literally we're going to be taken up into the sky with Jesus. And he's going to take us forever to be with him and the Father forever and ever. Amen? And so what remains is the people that are left behind, they're going to face what is called the Great Tribulation period. And that's why we got to pray for them, that they come to know Jesus, because we want them to be with us in the air meeting Jesus. Amen? And so that's why it's so important. You must tell them about the good news about Jesus Christ. So what are we to do now? What are we to do? Knowing that the end may be very near. Well, I want you to take a look at the bottom line verses, and we'll conclude with this, and we'll find out what exactly we are to do. 1 Thessalonians 5, 4-8. Won't you read it with me? Ready? Go. But you aren't in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters, and you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. Okay, you won't be surprised because you already know that's Jesus, right? Okay, verse 5. For you are all children of light and of the day. We don't belong to the darkness and the night. So be on your guard, not asleep like the others. Stay alert and clear-headed. Night is a time when people sleep and drinkers get drunk. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. So what are we are to do as believers? We got to stay clear-headed. How do we stay clear-headed in a world that is so messed up? You got to be in the Word of God. You got to grab your Bible every morning and say, Holy Spirit, feed me. Show me how I am to live this very day. Help me to draw so close to Jesus that my heart can just experience the fullness of His power and presence in my life. That's what it means to be clear-headed. You got to get rid of anything that you know is of the world, is of the flesh, or of the devil. Okay, because the devil, he's going to keep trying to put into our minds things that are not of God. You got to stay clear-headed by staying in the Word of God and being true to who you are as a Christian, because it tells us we are protected by the armor of faith and love. God will always put that hedge of protection over us, and we're going to wear this helmet of salvation, right, as one of the spiritual armors, where we're going to know that we are saved. It's going to protect your mind. That's what a helmet is for, right? You put that helmet of salvation on so that whatever lies the devil will try to put forth into your mind, guess what? They're not going to be able to penetrate into your head, okay? They will not be able to get into your mind because you got the helmet of salvation. You know you're secure in your salvation of God. When people ask you, do you know if you're really saved? You shouldn't be questioning that. You should not be at the point where, I don't know, maybe. No. You should say, yes, I am, because my life belongs to Jesus Christ. Amen? Praise God. Why don't we go ahead and let's bow our heads, let's bow our hearts, let's come before our Father in heaven. Let's pray. Father God, we just come into your holy presence, and we thank you, Lord, for your word that had been spoken. And Father, I pray, Lord, for all my brothers and sisters that are here, that as we just went through 10 signs or things that will take place in these last days, Father, we know, as we recognize them, Father, we know we are to be totally prepared for the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you will help us, that we're not going to receive things that are not of you. We're going to only take in things that will glorify your holy name. We're only going to take in what is from the Word of God and live the Word of God so that we know we can become more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we are so desperate for your help because we know, Lord, the enemy is working against us, but we know that the time is running short. We don't know the exact day or hour when Jesus is coming back, but each and every day should be a day unto the Lord, that we're going to live our lives fully devoted to you. And if that's your heart's cry, you're saying, yes, that is me, Pastor Ben. I want to live for Jesus, that I want God to know that my whole life belongs to him, that I will show to God that I'm so serious about my faith in him, that the devil will stay far away because he knows that I'm a child of God. If this is the cry of your heart, can you just raise your hand and say, that's me, so I can pray for you? Praise God. Praise God. Anyone else saying, that is me, Pastor Ben. I want to live for Jesus. I want my heart to be fully devoted to him. Praise God. All right, you can put your hands down. Let's pray. Father God, you've seen all the hands that were raised, but most importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands, saying, Lord, help me, because I know, Lord, that the devil is working so hard against me, but I'm trusting in you, I'm believing in you, that I know the day that your Son Jesus, when he returns, I know I'll be meeting him up in the air. If this is the case, if I'm still alive, I know I'll be meeting him up in the air, and that I will spend eternity with you forever and ever. Father, help me that I will stay devoted to your word, and that whatever attacks may come, I'm going to hold on tightly to you and your word. Father, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everyone says, amen, amen. Praise God. Won't you sing this song with me? I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Praise God. Let's give him a clap offering. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.